Welcome to the 18th Annual Labor Day Weekend Retreat, sponsored by Light Within Ministries. This year's theme, A Time to Unite and Transform Through the Power of Love. Featuring the President and Guiding Light of Light Within, David Hulse. Our guest speaker this weekend, Gary Sigler. For more information, you can contact us at Light Within, 3195 Dayton Xenia Road, Suite 900-331, Dayton, Ohio, 45434, or call 937-912-9229. On the web, of course, at www.lightwithin.com. We now join David and friends for David's Friday night seminar at the Bergamo Center in Dayton, Ohio.
We've got some great speakers here. They're going to speak on some really wonderful, wonderful subjects. The thing is, you've got to make choices where you're going to go. We're very blessed to have Gary Sigler and his wife Carol with us. I'm meeting them for the first time, although I certainly know the name well. And we're just honored and privileged to have you. Thank you. And Gary will be speaking tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon as our guest speaker, and I'm excited. I guess what I want to share, I'm supposed to set the tone a little bit and kind of, I happen to believe that things have a divine spiritual order, all meetings. I've tried the open pulpit thing, and the people who really want to have anything to say usually sit, and the people that don't have anything to say usually get up. I don't like the wasting of time, so I just, I'm open. I'm just open to the Spirit, how it moves, and if something happens, that's great. I'm not really speaking that much, so you can't put it on me that I'm hogging the show, because I talk tonight, and I'll talk Sunday morning, and Monday morning's up for grabs, kind of, so we'll see what happens Monday morning. But I want to welcome you. I want to welcome all of you that are here. To be honest, I wanted more. I thought with Gary and I bringing together our ministries that we would really have a good number. But you know, I always have gone for the quality than the quantity. Amen. I'm looking for the depth. The depth. The Spirit searcheth, yea, the deep things. The deep things of the Spirit, and those things are foolishness, even to my carnal mind. I think I'm foolish. When I get outside and get into my outer self and look back, I think, how absolutely foolish you are. I can't believe the things you say. It's called the accuser of the brethren, and it's all right up here. It's all right up here. That voice is always whispering, wrapping itself around the limbic tree and whispering. That's what the word serpent means, whisper, enchanter. It's always whispering how foolish you are. But you know what's wonderful to celebrate is that wall is coming down. The veil is thinning between that outer self and that inner self. And you know, I don't have to declare the outer self as my enemy. It's a part of me that I'm claiming. It just needs to raise its frequency a little bit. It just needs to raise its frequency a little bit so it can join into the wholeness of me and the wholeness of you. I want to honor each and every one of you for the contracts and agreements that you have made previously to this incarnation. That's one thing I'm very emphatic about in the thousand or so that we've trained in soul energetics, that we always teach our practitioners to honor the agreements and contracts of the client so that we don't push our gift beyond the free will and the choice of the client. I love the idea that everything is movement, but I love even the better idea that everything is dance. Everything is a dance. I remember Dr. Fred Wolf, a physicist who speaks in a lot of spiritual New Thought churches back in the early 90s when I first became interested in this quantum idea. It just fascinated me. I thought, who am I? You know that accuser of the brethren. Who are you, this little old fundamentalist Pentecostal preacher, to talk about physics and quantum and unified fields? Something rose up in me and said, well, I'm me. That's who I am. I'm not a physicist. I'm not a geneticist to talk about DNA, but I'm me. And I felt empowered by that. I felt I had come home to some inner power of myself that I could talk about anything I wanted to, even if I didn't have the degree behind me. Even though I didn't have the 4, 6, 8 years or whatever it was in academia. And you know, sometimes, and I would be sure that most of them in this room sometimes wonder, where does it come from? Where does this information, where does this knowledge come from in me? I didn't learn that in school, and I sure didn't get it at home from the parents. Where did it come from? This is a fascinating thing to me that's happening. A few years ago, I heard something from the Hopi prophecies that says that Mother Earth was calling back all of her old caretakers, and I never forgot that. It just rang in me. Resonated in me. Mother Earth, I just keep saying over, Mother Earth is calling back all of her caretakers. And I didn't know what that meant. I really meditated on it for a couple of years or more, trying to get a deep sense of the essence of that statement because it resonated. If it resonates in me, then I want to know the depth of that statement. Some statements don't stay with me, some do. Some things I read in a book just resonates in me, some don't. Some things some people speak resonate, some things don't. That's just the way it is in this world where the wheat and tares still kind of grow together a little bit, and you have to. And the tares to me are nothing bad. It just means what doesn't resonate with you at that time. Because things I've called tares are things I've called wheat later.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Things I've said I'd never believe. I'm teaching.
Is that the N-word?
Absolutely. I did. I did. That on tape. What I'm trying to say to you is, these are my thoughts for what they're worth. They're not my doctrine. They're not my dogma. They're not my absolute. Everything I'm saying to you, I may change tomorrow. I don't know. I never know what's going to happen. I've been on a 47-year journey here, really longer than that, but 47 years, I've shocked myself at the turns I've taken. But what I'm saying to you is I wanted the depth of that understanding of what does it mean for Mother Earth to call back her caretakers? You know, when the Holy Spirit wants to give you the essence of something, the meaning, the definition behind the symbolism, what we call metaphysics, people are concerned about that word, but it's, you know, back in the 80s, I was preaching all the time with the Sons of God people. I was talking about the spiritual application of the word, and it was all amen. Then I said the metaphysical meaning, and they all went, oh, false prophet. Oh, semantics. My goodness, how words can divide us, and we're meaning the very same thing. Meta means beyond the physical. That's all it means. It doesn't mean some cult, or that we're going to drink the blood of chickens, or sacrifice virgins or babies, or whatever. So far, so far that has not happened. And there's probably a metaphysical meaning to that. I want to go there. But my thoughts and feelings have been for the last several years on the idea that we, and I say we, and this is, oh, it's so touchy. You know, this is also touchy to try to use words to describe something else. So let the words take you. Please don't stay with the word, the letter, the language that I'm saying. Let it take you into your own inherent information and knowledge, that Christ consciousness, we call it. Let it take you there. Then you'll have your own knowing. And not because this is what David said, but when he said it, this is what I knew. Then you own it. But I have been given this information, and this is my interpretation of it, that the we that I'm talking about is the first fruits of the harvest. Now, that's, I'm going to use this term because that's a term a lot of us in this room have known through the direction we've come through the kingdom and all those kind of things. The first fruits. But really, it's really true if you stop and think of it. I love taking things out of the box of the Bible. I really do. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just bring it out of the box. You know, don't throw that away of Christ or Yeshua or Jesus. Bring him out of the box. He wants out of the box. He never was in the box anyway. Did you realize there's not one great religious so-called leader that was what the religion they represent? Jesus was never a Christian. Muhammad was never a Muslim. And on. Not one of them was what the religion is that they're identified to today. Why should I? So I'm trying to bring Jesus out of the box and let people know this wonderful pattern, this wonderful idea of ourselves while we still sleep, and see him as our own inner potential. I'm so glad Jesus showed up in my dream. The world is my dream, by the way. In Course in Miracles talk, the world is my dream. My perception is the world, and I've fallen asleep in materialism and externalism into the slow, dense frequencies of trapped energy called matter. Just as water molecules become so cold, they bind so close that they become trapped, and they become ice. One time they were steam, sometimes they were water, but then they become ice, trapped. They have three dimensions. They have gadgets. They feel special. So, I'm going to get back to what I'm saying here. What is this that I feel I've interpreted? Is that we, the first fruits. Now, everybody knows there's the first fruits of a harvest. That's not just biblical. Go out in nature, go out where we live here in Ohio, go into the Midwest anywhere and see the fields of wheat and corn, and you'll realize there's always a first fruits of that harvest. There's always those that ripen first. Now again, I've got to take this out of the ego's version that we had in Sonship and whatever, that we were the chosen and the elect. There is no way the divine, whatever you choose to call it, could choose a part of itself and unchoose another part. And when the part thinks it's chosen, then you got the unchosen, then you have trouble. This is what seeps into racism and prejudice. And everything think something is chosen, then the unchosen are lesser than I am. They are my servants. There lies the seed of most every ism that has divided us as a world and as a nation today. It is built upon the religious dogmas that God has a chosen people. I'll get to where I'm going, but just hold on. I do it in a funny way. You don't know how it works here with me. Take the word Christian. It's in the book of Acts at Antioch, and it was really the unbeliever who called those strange people across the street. I'll ad lib here a little bit. Across the street, they were so weird and a little different and strange. They said, "Who are they? They're acting strange over there." Oh, that's that bunch of Christians. That meant a community of those who followed the teachings of Christ. Just like people who was of Corinth were Corinthians. There were Christians. So the word Christian is a label came from the non-believer, not the believer. Same way with chosen. You read the history of the chosen was because of the time that we were coming out of polytheism, the many gods, into a monotheistic idea of Jehovah and Yahweh as the one and only separate God. Here's the Lord thy God is one. Oh, we think that is so great. The Lord thy God is one. But that excludes me. Holy, holy, holy. You know what the word holy means? H-O-L-Y. Separate, separate, separate. That's what it means. It's the same word as sanctified, to be set apart, to be made holy. Now when you put W-H-O-L-E, holy, holy, and without holiness no man shall ever see God anyway. Until we are whole and one, we shall never see that which it is. Because we will only behold it in the collective embodiment of itself. I'm hesitant to say the body of Christ because it's been beat to death to mean so many things. I call it the embodiment of the Christ in the collective. This is what all was looking for, but do not know it at this time. That the last trump will be sounded, and that's a sound that will awaken. Overnight, I believe it could happen. I believe it could happen. I believe it could happen. I've said this for so many years, that there will be a day, a morning that you will awaken. Do you hear me, Larry? You got to wake up early this morning. You got to wake up early for that morning. But you'll wake up some morning and you'll feel something in the air. That's, you don't even understand it, you don't know what it is, but there's something in the air, something shifted in the darkness of your sleep. Mark my word, if I be a true, whatever I am, whatever label you'll put on me, you shall see this to come to pass. And I've been told that for years, there will be, and I'm talking about a literal day, there will be a day like no other day. I'm not talking about a day, season-wise, but I'm talking about there will be a day. Now, whether it's 2012, December 20th, great, hallelujah. I do not know the hour nor the day, but I'll tell you, I know the season, and I know the day is coming. Yes, it may be, why not, when the galaxy crosses the sun and creates a wonderful portal, that this will come in spite. So what I've been told is that the first fruits, which are those that chose, and this is what happened. When the people of what we call Israel, Palestine, whatever you choose to call it, came over there and said, we want to be a part of a new way of seeing God as one, and became monotheistic, they were labeled those who chose that. That's how they got the name Chosen. Again, by those who observed them, said, oh, those are the people who chose monotheism. And now they think we're terrible, and we're going to make it under the abominations of Deuteronomy. Because we believe that God's in nature. We believe God is still in the woman. We believe that God is in everything. But now their God is one and separate beyond all nature and all things. They are the chosen. So who are the chosen when we say the chosen? They are they who have chosen to do the work. You're here because you have chosen and used your will to do the work. And the work you had to do in the beginning of this thing was to deal with your root energy system, which is your tribal issues of family. Is there anyone here that represents their entire family and bloodline that's walking in this level of consciousness? Please, I'm going to turn the microphone over to you. Is your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, all your children, all your grandchildren, are they all walking in this level of kind? I'm not saying that I have an entire family that comes in Dallas. An entire family, a mother, a father, their son and their daughter, the whole family. They all live in one house and actually all come to a meeting. I don't think I've ever gone anywhere that the entire family has come to a meeting. I'm not Benny Skinner's. I'm talking about my beatings. I don't have that. I do not have that. There's one, two at the most. Most of them will say I'm not understood by my family. They think I'm into something, and there's a price to be paid to be true to your heart and to step out from the control of the tribe. And when I say the tribe, I don't mean those that you share DNA with just much, but that can be your church, your religion, anything that is an outer system in which you have given your power to. And when you start taking that power back, guess what? Your friends scatter. People who thought was going to be your friend forever, they are gone. You prayed with them. You have studied. You have cried with them. You have sat up with them at night. But all of a sudden, because you have shifted. We've got some great speakers here. They're going to speak on some really wonderful, wonderful subjects. Thing is, you got to make choices where you're going to go. We're very blessed to have Gary Sigler and his wife Carol with us. I'm meeting them for the first time, although I certainly know the name well. And we're just honored and privileged to have you. Thank you. And Gary will be speaking tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon as our guest speaker. And I'm excited. I guess what I want to share, I'm supposed to set the tone a little bit and kind of, I happen to believe that things have a divine spiritual order, all meetings. I've tried the open pulpit thing. The people who really want to have anything to say usually sit, and the people that don't have anything to say usually get up. I don't like the wasting of time. So I just, I'm open. I'm just open to the Spirit, how it moves, and if something happens, that's great. I'm not really speaking that much, so you can't put it on me that I'm hogging the show. Because I talk tonight, and I'll talk Sunday morning. And Monday morning's up for grabs, kind of. So we'll see what happens Monday morning. But I want to welcome you. I want to welcome all of you that are here. To be honest, I wanted more. I thought with Gary and I bringing together our ministries that we would really have a good number. But you know, I always have gone for the quality than the quantity. Amen. I'm looking for the depth. The Spirit searcheth, yea, the deep things of the Spirit. And those things are foolishness, even to my carnal mind. I think I'm foolish. When I get outside and get into my outer self and look back, I think, how absolutely foolish you are. I can't believe the things you say. It's called the accuser of the brethren. And it's all right up here. It's all right up here. That voice is always whispering, wrapping itself around the limbic tree. And whispering, that's what the word serpent means, whisper, enchanter. It's always whispering how foolish you are. But you know, what's wonderful to celebrate is that wall is coming down. The veil is thinning between that outer self and that inner self. And you know, I don't have to declare the outer self as my enemy. It's a part of me that I'm claiming. It just needs to raise its frequency a little bit. It just needs to raise its frequency a little bit so it can join into the wholeness of me and the wholeness of you. I want to honor each and every one of you for the contracts and agreements that you have made previously to this incarnation. That's one thing I'm very emphatic about. In the thousand or so that we've trained in Soul Energetics, that we always teach our practitioners to honor the agreements and contracts of the client so that we don't push our gift beyond the free will and the choice of the client. I love the idea that everything is movement, but I love even the better idea that everything is dance. Everything is a dance. I remember Dr. Fred Wolf, a physicist who speaks in a lot of spiritual new thought churches back in the early 90s when I first became interested in this quantum idea. It just fascinated me. I thought, who am I? You know that accuser of the brethren. Who are you, this little old fundamentalist Pentecostal preacher, to talk about physics and quantum and unified fields? Something rose up in me and said, well, I'm me. That's who I am. I'm not a physicist. I'm not a geneticist to talk about DNA, but I'm me. And I felt empowered by that. I felt I had come home to some inner power of myself that I could talk about anything I wanted to, even if I didn't have the degree behind me. Even though I didn't have the 4, 6, 8 years or whatever it was in academia. And you know, sometimes, and I bet, well, I'm not betting, but I would be sure that most of you in this room sometimes wonder, where does it come from? Where does this information, where does this knowledge come from in me? I didn't learn that in school, and I sure didn't get it at home from the parents. Where did it come from? This is a fascinating thing to me that's happening. A few years ago, I heard something from the Hopi prophecies that says that Mother Earth was calling back all of her old caretakers, and I never forgot that. It just rang in me, resonated in me. Mother Earth, I just kept saying over, Mother Earth is calling back all of her caretakers. And I didn't know what that meant. I really meditated on it for a couple of years or more, trying to get a deep sense of the essence of that statement because it resonates. If it resonates with me, then I want to know the depth of that statement. Some statements don't stay with me, some do. Some things I read in a book just resonates in me, some don't. Doesn't. Some things some people speak resonate, some things don't. That's just the way it is in this world where the wheat and tares still kind of grow together a little bit, and you have to. And the tares to me are nothing bad, it just means what doesn't resonate with you at that time. Because things I've called tares are things I've called wheat later.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Things I've said, I'd never believe, I'm teaching.
Is that the N word?
I did. Oh, wow. I did. And on tape. What I'm trying to say to you is, now, these are my thoughts for what they're worth. They're not my doctrine. They're not my dogma. They're not my absolute. Everything I'm saying to you, I may change tomorrow. I don't know. I never know what's going to happen. I've been on a 47-year journey here, really longer than that, but 47 years I've shocked myself at the turns I've taken. But what I'm saying to you is I wanted the depth of that understanding of what does it mean for Mother Earth to call back her caretakers. You know, when the Holy Spirit wants to give you the essence of something, the meaning, the definition behind the symbolism, what we call metaphysics, people are concerned about that word, but it's, you know, back in the 80s, I was preaching all the time with the Sons of God people, and I was talking about the spiritual application of the word, and it was all amen. Then I said the metaphysical meaning, and they all went, oh, false prophet. Oh, semantics. My goodness, how words can divide us, and we're meaning the very same thing. Meta means beyond the physical. That's all it means. It doesn't mean some cult, or that we're going to drink the blood of chickens, or sacrifice virgins or babies or whatever. So far. So far that has not happened. And there's probably a metaphysical meaning to that. If I want to go there. But my thoughts and feelings have been for the last several years on the idea that we, and I say we, and this is, oh, it's so touchy. You know, this is also touchy to try to use words to describe something else. So let the words take you. Please don't stay with the word, the letter, the language that I'm saying. Let it take you into your own inherent information and knowledge, that Christ consciousness, we call it. Let it take you there. Then you'll have your own knowing. And not because this is what David said, but when he said it, this is what I knew. Then you own it. But I have been given this information, and this is my interpretation of it, that the we that I'm talking about is the first fruits of the harvest. Now, that's, I'm going to use this term because that's a term a lot of us in this room have known through the direction we've come through the kingdom and all those kind of things. The first fruits. But really, it's really true if you stop and think of it. I love taking things out of the box of the Bible. I really do. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just bring it out of the box. You know, don't throw that away of Christ or Yeshua or Jesus. Bring him out of the box. He wants out of the box. He never was in the box anyway. Did you realize there's not one great religious so-called leader that was what the religion they represent? Jesus was never a Christian. Muhammad was never a Muslim. And on and on. Not one of them was what the religion is that they're identified to today. Why should I? So I'm trying to bring Jesus out of the box and let people know this wonderful pattern, this wonderful idea of ourselves while we still sleep, and see him as our own inner potential. I'm so glad Jesus showed up in my dream. The world is my dream, by the way. In Course in Miracles talk, the world is my dream. My perception is the world, and I've fallen asleep in materialism and externalism into the slow, dense frequencies of trapped energy called matter. Just as water molecules become so cold, they bind so close that they become trapped, and they become ice. One time they were steam, sometimes they were water, but then they become ice, trapped. They have three dimensions. They have edges. They feel special. So, I'm going to get back to what I'm saying here. What is this that I feel I've interpreted? Is that we, the first fruits. Now, everybody knows there's the first fruits of a harvest. That's not just biblical. Go out in nature, go out where we live here in Ohio, go into the Midwest anywhere and see the fields of wheat and corn, and you'll realize there's always a first fruits of that harvest. There's always those that ripen first. Now again, I've got to take this out of the ego's version that we had in Sonship and whatever, that we were the chosen and the elect. There is no way the divine, whatever you choose to call it, could choose a part of itself and unchoose another part. And when the part thinks it's chosen, then you got the unchosen, then you have trouble. This is what seeps into racism and prejudice. And everything think something is chosen, then the unchosen are lesser than I am. They are my servants. There lies the seed of most every ism that has divided us as a world and as a nation today, is built upon the religious dogmas that God has a chosen people. I'll get to where I'm going, but just hold on. I do it in a funny way. You don't know how it works here with me. Take the word Christian. In the book of Acts at Antioch, and it was really the unbeliever who called those strange people across the street. I'll ad lib here a little bit. Across the street, they were so weird and a little different and strange. They said, "Who are they? They're acting strange over there." Oh, that's that bunch of Christians. That meant a community of those who followed the teachings of Christ. Just like people who was of Corinth were Corinthians. There were Christians. So the word Christian is a label came from the non-believer, not the believer. Same way with chosen. You read the history of the chosen was because of the time that we were coming out of polytheism, the many gods, into a monotheistic idea of Jehovah and Yahweh as the one and only separate God. Here's the Lord thy God is one. Oh, we think that is so great. The Lord thy God is one. But that excludes me. Holy, holy, holy. You know what the word holy means? H-O-L-Y. Separate, separate, separate. That's what it means. It's the same word as sanctified, to be set apart, to be made holy. Now when you put W-H-O-L-E, holy, holy, and without holiness no man shall ever see God anyway. Until we are whole and one, we shall never see that which it is. Because we will only behold it in the collective embodiment of itself. I'm hesitant to say the body of Christ because it's been beat to death to mean so many things. I call it the embodiment of the Christ in the collective. This is what all was looking for, but do not know it at this time. But the last trump will be sounded, and that's a sound that will awaken. Overnight, I believe it could happen. I believe it could happen. I believe it could happen. I've said this for so many years, that there will be a day, a morning that you will awaken. Do you hear me, Larry? You got to wake up early this morning. You got to wake up early for that morning. But you'll wake up some morning and you'll feel something in the air. That's, you don't even understand it. You don't know what it is, but there's something in the air. Something shifted in the darkness of your sleep. Mark my word, if I be a true whatever I am, whatever label you'll put on me, you shall see this to come to pass. And I've been told that for years. There will be, and I'm talking about a literal day, there will be a day like no other day. I'm not talking about a day season-wise, but I'm talking about there will be a day. Now, whether it's 2012, December 20th, great, hallelujah. I do not know the hour nor the day, but I tell you, I know the season, and I know the day is coming. Yes, it may be, why not, when the galaxy crosses the sun and creates a wonderful portal, that this will come in spite. So what I've been told is that the first fruits, which are those that chose, and this is what happened, when the people of what we call Israel, Palestine, whatever you choose to call it, came over there and said, we want to be a part of a new way of seeing God as one, and became monotheistic, they were labeled those who chose that. That's how they got the name Chosen. Again, by those who observed them, said, oh, those are the people who chose monotheism. And now they think we're terrible, and we're going to make it under the abominations of Deuteronomy. Because we believe that God's in nature. We believe God is still in the woman. We believe that God is in everything. But now their God is one and separate beyond all nature and all things. They are the chosen. So who are the chosen when we say the chosen? They are they who have chosen to do the work. You're here because you have chosen and used your will to do the work. And the work you had to do in the beginning of this thing was to deal with your root energy system, which is your tribal issues of family. Is there anyone here that represents their entire family and bloodline that's walking in this level of consciousness? Please, I'm going to turn the microphone over to you. Is your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, all your children, all your grandchildren, are they all walking in this level of consciousness? I'm not saying that I have an entire family that comes in Dallas. An entire family, a mother, a father, their son and their daughter, the whole family. They all live in one house and actually all come to a meeting. I don't think I've ever gone anywhere that the entire family has come to a meeting. I'm not Benny Skinner's. I'm talking about my beatings. I don't have that. I do not have that. There's one, two at the most. Most of them will say I'm not understood by my family. They think I'm into something, and there's a price to be paid to be true to your heart and to step out from the control of the tribe. And when I say the tribe, I don't mean those that you share DNA with just much, but that can be your church, your religion, anything that is an outer system in which you have given your power to. And when you start taking that power back, guess what? Your friends scatter. People who thought was going to be your friend forever, they are gone. You prayed with them. You have studied. You have cried with them. You have sat up with them at night. But all of a sudden, because you have shifted to be true to your inner self, you've had to stand in the power of self. Am I right or wrong? I was blessed with great parents. They supported me. I was their pastor for many years. But my dad never changed his belief of the rapture and all of the literalism of fundamentalism until the day he dropped off the bed with a heart attack. My mother really didn't either, but she just loved me and love was blind. She just loved me whatever I said. So I was blessed in that way, but it wasn't because they necessarily walked with me in a level of consciousness. I've always had a different rapport with time and space, and I bet you have too. From the beginning, you didn't learn it, you brought it. That's the thing that's different within this generation. There is an incarnation of souls that was allowed not to go into the depths of the sleep of the world dream, but to remain at a conscious level that made them feel different from the beginning. Why is this happening at this time? My take is that we are living in the last incarnation. Now, you know, this again is a touchy thing with me. Do you believe in reincarnation? Yes. Do you not believe in reincarnation? No. You know, people don't get it. They think you're contradicting. That we would really have a good number. But, you know, I always have gone for the quality than the quantity. I'm looking for the depth. The Spirit searcheth, yea, the deep things of the Spirit. And those things are foolishness, even to my carnal mind. I think I'm foolish. When I get outside and get into my outer self and look back, I think, how absolutely foolish you are. I can't believe the things you say. It's called the accuser of the brethren. And it's all right up here. It's all right up here. That voice is always whispering, wrapping itself around the limbic tree. And whispering. That's what the word serpent means. Whisper. Enchanter. It's always whispering how foolish you are. But you know, what's wonderful to celebrate is that wall is coming down. The veil is thinning between that outer self and that inner self. And you know, I don't have to declare the outer self as my enemy. It's a part of me that I'm claiming. It just needs to raise its frequency a little bit. It just needs to raise its frequency a little bit so it can join into the wholeness of me and the wholeness of you. I want to honor each and every one of you for the contracts and agreements that you have made previously to this incarnation. That's one thing I'm very emphatic about. In the thousand or so that we've trained in soul energetics, that we always teach our practitioners to honor the agreements and contracts of the client so that we don't push our gift beyond the free will and the choice of the client. I love the idea that everything is movement, but I love even the better idea that everything is dance. Everything is a dance. I remember Dr. Fred Wolf, a physicist who speaks in a lot of spiritual new thought churches back in the early 90s when I first became interested in this quantum idea. It just fascinated me. I thought, who am I? You know that cues of the brethren. Who are you, this little old fundamentalist Pentecostal preacher, to talk about physics and quantum and unified fields? Something rose up in me and said, well, I'm me. That's who I am. I'm not a physicist. I'm not a geneticist to talk about DNA, but I'm me. And I felt empowered by that. I felt I had come home to some inner power of myself that I could talk about anything I wanted to, even if I didn't have the degree behind me. Even though I didn't have the 4, 6, 8 years or whatever it was in academia. And you know, sometimes, I would be sure that most of you in this room sometimes wonder, where does it come from? Where does this information, where does this knowledge come from in me? I didn't learn that in school, and I sure didn't get it at home from the parents. Where did it come from? This is a fascinating thing to me that's happening. A few years ago, I heard something from the Hopi prophecies that says that Mother Earth was calling back all of her old caretakers, and I never forgot that. It just rang in me. Resonated in me. Mother Earth, I just kept saying over, Mother Earth is calling back all of her caretakers. And I didn't know what that meant. I really meditated on it for a couple of years or more, trying to get a deep sense of the essence of that statement because it resonates. If it resonates in me, then I want to know the depth of that statement. Some statements don't stay with me, some do. Some things I read in a book just resonates in me, some doesn't. Some things some people speak resonates, some things don't. That's just the way it is in this world where the wheat and tares still kind of grow together a little bit. And the tares to me are nothing bad. It just means what doesn't resonate with you at that time. Because things I've called tares are things I've called wheat later.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Things I've said, I'd never believe, I'm teaching.
Is that the
N word?
Absolutely.
I did. I did. That on tape. What I'm trying to say to you is, these are my thoughts for what they're worth. They're not my doctrine. They're not my dogma. They're not my absolute. Everything I'm saying to you, I may change tomorrow. I don't know. I never know what's going to happen. I'm on a 47-year journey here, really longer than that, but 47 years, I've shocked myself at the turns I've taken. But what I'm saying to you is I wanted the depth of that understanding of what does it mean for Mother to call back her caretakers. You know, when the Holy Spirit wants to give you the essence of something, the meaning, the definition behind the symbolism, what we call metaphysics, people are concerned about that word, but it's, you know, back in the 80s, I was preaching all the time with the Sons of God people. I was talking about the spiritual application of the word, and it was all amen. Then I said the metaphysical meaning, and they all went, oh, false prophet. Oh, semantics. My goodness, how words can divide us, and we're meaning the very same thing. Meta means beyond the physical. That's all it means. It doesn't mean some cult, or that we're going to drink the blood of chickens, or sacrifice virgins or babies, or whatever. So far, that has not happened. And there's probably a metaphysical meaning to that. I don't want to go there. But my thoughts and feelings have been for the last several years on the idea that we, and I say we, and this is, oh, it's so touchy. You know, this is also touchy to try to use words to describe something else. So let the words take you. Please don't stay with the word, the letter, the language that I'm saying. Let it take you into your own inherent information and knowledge, that Christ consciousness, we call it. Let it take you there. Then you'll have your own knowing. And not because this is what David said, but when he said it, this is what I knew. Then you own it. But But I have been given this information, and this is my interpretation of it, that the we that I'm talking about is the first fruits of the harvest. Now, that's I'm going to use this term because that's a term a lot of us in this room have known through the direction we've come through the kingdom and all those kind of things. The first fruits. But really, it's really true if you stop and think of it. I love taking things out of the box of the Bible. I really do. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just bring it out of the box. You know, don't throw that away Christ or Yeshua or Jesus. Bring him out of the box. He wants out of the box. He never was in the box anyway. Did you realize there's not one great religious so-called leader that was what the religion they represent? Jesus was never a Christian. Muhammad was never a Muslim. And on and on. Not one of them was what the religion is that they're identified to today. Why should I? So I'm trying to bring Jesus out of the box and let people know this wonderful pattern, this wonderful idea of ourselves while we still sleep, and see him as our own inner potential. I'm so glad Jesus showed up in my dream. The world is my dream, by the way. In Course in Miracles talk, the world is my dream. My perception is the world, and I've fallen asleep in materialism and externalism into the slow, dense frequencies of trapped energy called matter. Just as water molecules become so cold, they bind so close, they become trapped, and they become ice. One time they were steam, sometimes they were water, but then they become ice, trapped. They have three dimensions. They have gadgets. They feel special. So, I'm going to get back to what I'm saying here. What is this that I feel I've interpreted? Is that we, the first fruits. Now, everybody knows there's the first fruits of a harvest. That's not just biblical. Go out in nature, go out where we live here in Ohio, go into the Midwest anywhere and see the fields of wheat and corn, and you'll realize there's always a first fruits of that harvest. There's always those that ripen first. Now again, I've got to take this out of the ego's version that we had in Sonship and whatever, that we were the chosen and the elect. There is no way the divine, the whatever you choose to call it, could choose a part of itself and unchoose another part. And when a part thinks it's chosen, then you got the unchosen, then you have trouble. This is what seeps into racism and prejudice and everything. Think something is chosen, then the unchosen are lesser than I am. They are my servants. There lies the seed of most every ism that has divided us as a world and as a nation today. It is built upon the religious dogmas that God